Amen. Well, isn't it a joy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? So good to see everybody here, and it's always a privilege of mine to be at Benson Grove, and I love this place. We've had some great meetings here, and so good to have my wife with me today. Mama, wave at everybody there so you can see her. We've just celebrated in June 44 years of marriage, and God's been good to us, and we just bless His holy name. Someone said, how did you make it 44 years? Well, here's what we did. When we were just teenagers, we determined that we were going to put the Lord first in everything, all the way, all through these years. That's what we've tried to do. No, we've not been perfect, but we've tried to put the Lord first. Well, here we are 44 years later, still in church, still serving the Lord. And for you young people, it's not one of the best plans. It's the best plan to put the Lord first in your life and in your marriage, and you'll never be sorry that you did. I want you to turn your Bible this morning to two passages, Daniel in chapter number 12 and also 1 John chapter number 5. Daniel chapter number 12 and 1 John in chapter number 5. I guess this is my first time ever at Benson Grove with the pastor not being here, but I understand he's away and getting some free time, some time off, and I'm sure he's probably watching. And I don't have to remind you of what a great pastor and first lady you have, and thank God for the man of God who's remained faithful here for all these many years. If you found your place, Daniel chapter 12 and in verse number 4. Daniel chapter 12 and in verse number 4. The Bible said, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Now, I want to read a very familiar verse, 1 John 5:13, actually a memory verse of mine when I was a teenager. 1 John chapter 5 and in verse number 13. Notice, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Let us pray. Father, we're so thankful this morning that you've let us be back in the house of the Lord. So good to see this great crowd coming in for the Lord's day. And I pray that everyone who's here will be blessed. And then all those watching online, help them today to receive, Lord, from your table. Now, Lord, I realize today in a crowd this size and people watching from all over the world, Lord, there's people that need salvation. And I pray that today will be the day that they come to you. Help us as believers to draw closer to you. And Lord, all that's accomplished, we'll thank you and praise you for it. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, amen and amen. If you'll hold your place there in 1 John 5, I want to read Daniel 12, 4 again. This verse to me is kind of nostalgic because I remember when I was a boy in church growing up, there was so much happening in the world of technology, even when I was a boy long ago. I'm talking about high-tech stuff like that Polaroid instant camera. Y'all remember that. What about having a CB radio right there in your car? Well, there was all kind of things. 8-track cassettes. Now I can play my music in my car. Well, there was a lot of technology advancements, I'm saying 50 years ago. And preachers, when I was a boy, with all that going on, Brother LaVon, they would refer to this verse, how Daniel said, at the time of the end, knowledge shall be increased. Well, in those days, those things, we laugh at it now, but that was high tech back then. But think about what we have now. It's unbelievable. When I was a boy, I heard preachers preach about the end times, the Antichrist, and some would refer to a massive computer in Brussels, Belgium. They even called it the beast. I think it covered an entire city block. And they said, folks, we got to be near the coming of the Lord. The beast is already here. Well, friends, listen. My phone will do more than that computer would do back in those days. But you see, technology is increasing all the time. Did you know right now there's technology on the table where that it's predicting in the very near future we'll be able to see blind people receive their sight through technology? Wouldn't that be great? What about paralyzed people? They've got it right there on the verge of setting paralyzed people free. Friend, we're in a day when knowledge is increasing. Just the other day, I read a report. A guy wanted a new Tesla car, so he ordered it on his phone, and the car drove itself to his house, pulled in the driveway, beat the horn, "I'm here." Well, friends, self-driving cars healed paralyzed people. Eyes of the blind being opened, we could go on and on. Just recently, we launched the heaviest, largest rocket that's ever left this planet. It had the power, ladies and gentlemen, of 63 747 jetliners. That's power. And this has never happened before. When that rocket came back, it was caught and spared and didn't crash into the sea like all previous rockets. Well, we're making history all the time. And you could go on and on. I could go on and on about how amazing all this knowledge, all this increase. Can the church say I'm right about that? Man, we are in the day of increased knowledge. But I want to talk to you from 1 John 5:13 this morning, where the beloved John said this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." We all agree knowledge is increasing, and it's phenomenal, it's amazing. But I want to talk to you this morning about life's greatest knowledge. The greatest knowledge in life is beyond self-driving electric cars. The greatest knowledge in life is beyond a rocket with the power of 6747 jetliners. The greatest knowledge in life, friend, is the knowledge of salvation. Knowing 100% for sure that you're saved by the grace of God. John said we can know that. How can we know that? He said, here's how. These things. You don't base your salvation on how you feel. You don't base your salvation on what you've done or what you've not done. You base your salvation on the assurance given inside the pages of the Word of God. I'm glad I can pillow my head tonight with blessed assurance, and I don't have to fear dying, because these things correspond with what God has did in my heart and life. Friend, being saved and knowing that you're saved, it's the most important business in life. Not one of the most important things, but the most important thing. How many times do you reckon we have blinked our eyes since we've been in this room? Blinking is something you do unconscious. You don't even think about it. It's a God-given ability that helps us keep our eyes clear, keep our eyes clean. We blink and don't even realize it. But did you know, friends, one day we're going to blink and we're going to open our eyes, but we won't be here. We won't be in this world. we're going to be in eternity. And friend, when I close my eyes in this world for the last time, knowing not when that will be, no more than you do, I'm glad when I open my eyes in eternity, I know where I'll be. I'll be in the presence of the Lord. I'll be in heaven because my name is written there. What about you? If you were to blink, open your eyes, and you're not in this church, you're going to be in eternity, either in heaven or in that awful place called hell. 5 years ago, right now, I was in a meeting in the state of Virginia. It was Thursday night of a five-night revival, the next to the last night of the meeting. I was on the platform, Brother Tim, kind of like I was doing this morning. I was sitting on the platform watching visitors come in. And it was just a couple of minutes till church, and I saw an old fella come in the back, and he really got my attention. I'm thinking, I know who that guy is, but I couldn't figure it out. And I kept watching him. He had on a straw hat. He had on pointer bibbed overalls. He was tall and skinny, had a long pointed beard. And I'm thinking, who is this man? And it dawned on me, the old Mountain Dew commercial. He looked just like the old Mountain Dew man. Some of you young people don't know who that is. Google it after church. The old Mountain Dew man, he had a great commercial. Y'all remember it? He had that jug of Mountain Dew. He popped the cork shot through his hat, and he'd say, Yahoo! Mountain Dew. Well, that old guy, I'm not kidding. He looked just like his twin brother. Well, I preached my heart out that Thursday night, gave the invitation. Guess who came to the altar? The old Mountain Dew man. He came to the altar. I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know him. When his wife saw him come to the altar, she got up out of her pew. She took off shouting around the church, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I still don't really know what's going on. And finally at last, when they got done praying with the Mountain Dew man, he got up wiping tears and he said, folks, I've got saved tonight. The Lord saved me tonight. And he was so happy and the church rejoiced. Well, we went home Friday night. I'm sitting in the same place, Brother Tim. And there he comes in again about 3 minutes before church. But he didn't sit on the back row that day. He came on up toward the front. I'm watching him to see if he's going to sit on the front. Well, he bypassed the front and he came up on the platform. So I stood up to meet him. And when I stood up to meet my old Mountain Dew friend, he grabbed me with a bear hug. He whispered in my ear. He said, preacher, I got saved last night. He said, this has been the best day in my whole life. He was in his late 70s. And if you know anything about people getting saved at that age is very rare. And he got saved. Well, as we're up there hugging on the platform, we didn't realize, Brother LaVon, there was another visitor there, an unwanted visitor, an unwelcome visitor. That visitor's name was COVID. Nobody knew it, but practically everybody in the church had COVID, including the Mountain Dew man, including me. And as he was hugging me and we were embracing, we both had COVID and didn't even know it yet. And that strand that came through that revival, it was so bad that 4 people in that revival died from that strand of COVID. Guess who one of the 4 was? The old Mountain Dew man. He had no clue on that Thursday night when he got saved that he only had a few days left to live on this earth. Well, he's not here with us anymore. He's in that land that's fairer than day. I believe I'll see him again. And when I see him on that street of gold, here's what I'm going to say. Yahoo! Mountain Dew. Well, I'm here to tell you, friend, God saved that old man that night. I had COVID. Many in the church had COVID. And I didn't know it then, but I had a strand so bad it nearly killed me. But friends, I want you to know the important thing is none of us know what we've got. None of us know what disease we might have. None of us know when we might be swept from this world quickly. That's why it's so important to have this 100% knowledge that you know that you're saved. You see, the old Mountain Dew man would be in hell instead of heaven had he not got saved. He didn't know he had a few days left to live. Neither do you and I know how long we have left to live. But we better be sure that we have something beyond rocket science. We better be sure we have something beyond self-driving cars. We better be sure that we got knowledge of our salvation by the grace of God. You won't flip far through this soul-stirring songs and hymns. As a matter of fact, I pastored 30 years. This is the hymnal that we used all those years. And you won't flip far through this hymnal without finding great hymns and songs written by one of the greatest, if not the greatest, songwriter of history, a lady by the name of Fanny Crosby. Fanny died in 1915. Fanny was a great Christian. She was a great poet. She wrote over 8,000 hymns. Fanny, at the age of 2, was stricken blind in a medical incident, not on purpose, but she was stricken blind. She lived from age 2 to age 94 in total darkness and blackness. When it got near time for Fanny to leave this world, word got spread around that the great songwriter, Fanny Crosby, was nearing death. So there was a man who heard this news who had always been an admirer of her songwriting. Someone said, well, if you want to see her before she dies, you better get over there. She's almost gone. Well, the man, having never met her, he made his way to that primitive room where Fanny was dying. He knocked on the door. Nobody responded. So he cracked open the door. He peeped inside. Nobody was in the room. And then his eyes saw that little bed. He saw underneath the covers of that bed the tiny silhouette of a woman. He could see that the covers were barely moving as Fanny was barely breathing. He walks up to her slowly, not to startle her, and begins to talk to her. He soon realizes she's in a coma and she's not responsive to him at all. Tears filled his eyes as he looked at dying Fanny Crosby. And he said, Fanny, I've always been a fan of your songwriting. I love your songs. And he said, I've always wanted to ask you a question in person. And it looks like I'm not going to get my question answered today. Fanny, I've always wanted to know, out of 8,000 songs that you wrote down, which one of them would have been your favorite? Which one of those would have been top your favorite song? Well, she doesn't respond. He wipes tears and bids her farewell. He says, Fanny, I'll not see you again here, but I'll see you over there. And then you can tell me what your favorite all-time song that you ever wrote was. Well, as the man's leaving the room, he's shutting that door. And right before the door closes, he hears some movement in that room. He knows nobody's there but her. So before he closes the door, he listens real close. And that little movement turned into a voice. He's listening through the crack. And that little voice in that room began to sing. And the song that Fanny sang was this. Blessed assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Sir, you want to know my story? You want to know my favorite song that I ever wrote? This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Say what you want to, but it's pretty good to be able to sing that song at age 94, breathing your last breath, knowing your time on earth is short. My question for us today is, do we have that same kind of blessed assurance? The Bible says clearly that you can know that you're saved. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:1, and we know that if our earthly house, you're looking at Don Anderson's earthly house. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, one day my tabernacle will dissolve. One day your tabernacle will dissolve. But I'm glad to report to you, we know that we have a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. I may not be the brightest person in this house or in this world, but I do possess life's greatest knowledge. I know that I've been saved. I was preaching in Bristow, Oklahoma, about 1,000 miles from home. Juanita and I flew out there for 7 churches in a five-week period. I was making a big circle. I'd been to this church in Bristow one time before, a year earlier. And I walked in the foyer and several guys there greeting visitors. And I remembered some of their faces. And I said, hey, fellas, good to see y'all again. They said, hey, preacher, good to have you back. Good to see you, that kind of stuff. And then there was a guy, Brother Tim, right in the middle of them who said, hey, it's not again for me. This is my first time ever being here. I said, well, buddy, we're glad to have you. I said, how did you know about the meeting? He said, I was at the country store today, and a stranger in that store that nobody knew came up to me and said, you need to come to the revival in Bristow. There's a man there that you need to hear preach. Well, to this day, we don't know who that stranger was, but someone invited him to the revival. First night of revival, that man got saved. He got right, thoroughly right with God. His name, Jim O'Connor. Jim got up wiping tears. He was in revival every night that week. That was a Monday through Friday. Every night he was there and so excited about it. When the meeting was over, he said, preacher, when are you going to be back? I said, well, I'm going to be about 100 miles from here next week. I'll be maybe 100 miles the week after. I said, but I am coming back in this vicinity before I go home. And I told him where and when. Well, 2 or 3 weeks passed. I finally got back in the vicinity preaching another meeting. And guess who was there? Mr. O'Connor. He was there, so excited, there just like before. He didn't miss a service. He even told me he was going to join the church that next Sunday after I was gone. And boy, we were so excited for him. Well, when the meeting got to an end last night, Mr. O'Connor said, hey, when you going to be back? I said, it'll probably be a year before I get back this time. I'm going back toward my home in North Carolina. He said, well, I'll be waiting for you. I can't wait for you to get back. Well, my wife and I flew out the next morning, and I'm waiting for our connection in Atlanta, Georgia. I get a phone call, and I saw it was an Oklahoma phone number. And it was the pastor I was with on that last week. He said, Brother Anderson, just calling. I wondered, had you heard the news? I said, no, I hadn't heard anything. He said, it's national. I said, what is it? He said, you remember Mr. O'Connor? I said, sure, that man's on fire. He's going to join your church Sunday, he told me, and get baptized. He said, well, preacher, that's not going to happen. Jim O'Connor was going down the expressway, a tractor trailer coming the other side of the medium, lost a part of his trailer, it came loose somehow, crossed the medium, and hit Mr. O'Connor head on. And it killed him instantly. I said, you're kidding, brother. I just saw him last night. He said, brother, Mr. O'Connor's gone. He's dead. He said, preacher, I want to thank you for preaching to him. I'm so thankful he got saved. But Mr. O'Connor is dead. Little did he know, he only had a few weeks to live. You see, friends, this is serious business. We don't know how long we have. But I'm glad I know this. I know where I'm going. And I'm not afraid to face death. And I'm not afraid to die. If you're lost in this building today, just think about how serious this is. One blink of an eye and you could be in hell. One blink of an eye, you could be in eternity. And what's going to count? It's not going to be church membership. It's not going to be water baptism. It's not going to be doing good works and have I treated my fellow man right. What's going to matter is when we breathe that last breath and our heart beats that last beat, what's going to matter is what we've done with Christ. Now, friends, there's one way to heaven. Jesus said in John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That word way, the way, the one and only way, the truth, the one and only truth, the life, the one and only life. John said it this way in chapter 10:9, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Luke said it this way in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It seems in the last several weeks that America has had a jolt with the assassination of Charles Kirk. I didn't know him personally. I followed him on news media, and I appreciate all that he did. But there's a man trying to spread the gospel, trying to teach college students to think for themselves, and an assassin took him out of this world in a split second. Well, it's kind of woke some people up. You know, there's been a lot of people got saved since then. A lot of people's attending church that hadn't attended church for years. Sometimes it takes something tragic to give us a jolt to wake us up. Do you remember what Isaiah said in Isaiah 6? He said, in the year that King Uzziah died, it took a death. He said, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Well, friends, we know where Charlie Kirk's at. We know where Fanny Crosby's at. We know where the Mountain Dew Man's at. We know where Jim O'Connor's at. But if you breathe your last breath, do you know where you're going? Do you know heaven is your home? And you can know that 100% for sure before you leave the building today. Some of you thinking, preacher, you're scaring me. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to wake you up to let you see how life is so uncertain and how death is so sure. I could go on and on. I could tell you stories the rest of the day. But I'm here to tell you, friends, what's your story going to consist of? What will be the end of your journey in this world? Will you step into the presence of the Lord, or will you descend into the pits of the unredeemed? I want us to stand with heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe I could get some music, Brother Tim, just somebody play something. And nobody's looking this morning. I'm not here to embarrass anybody. Anybody that knows me at Benson Grove knows I come to be a friend. But I couldn't be your friend and have this load on my heart without sharing it with you today. I want to talk to saved people for just a minute first, and God's people. You say, well, preacher, you're preaching to lost people. Well, I am, but I want to talk to God's people. There's a principle in Scripture that judgment must first begin at the house of God. I want to talk to Christians. You know you're saved. You know you're going to heaven. But how many of you Christians will slip up your hand and say, Brother Anderson, I do know I'm saved. I do know I'm going to heaven. But preacher, just to be honest, there's been times in my life I've been closer to the Lord than I am right now. Preacher, pray for me. I want to get back like I used to be. I see those hands. Don't be ashamed. It happens to everybody. Did you know what happened to you right now happens to everybody? There's times and circumstances that puts distance between us and the Lord. Oh yeah, we're still saved, but we know we're not what we ought to be. You that just lifted your hand on this Sunday morning, why not make your way to this altar and say, Lord, I do know I'm saved, but Lord, I want to get back close to you like I used to be. I want to get back close to you like I ought to be. Would you be the first? Would you come? Just slip on out. That's what church is about. Church is about getting closer to the Lord. It's not just a religious formality or a religious duty. It's about getting closer to the Lord. Many are coming. Great, fantastic. You that are coming would make it much easier for some lost soul to come. My next question before I turn it back to Brother Tim and LaVon and these guys, nobody's looking. Is there someone here today, say, preacher, I've heard you talk about life's greatest knowledge. I've heard you talk about knowledge increasing in these days. But preacher, I don't have that greatest knowledge. I don't know for sure I'm saved. I want to lift my hand and ask you, would you pray for me, preacher? I don't know for sure I'm saved. Would you lift up that hand? Don't be ashamed. We're here to help you. We're here to get you that knowledge you need, so when your time on earth is through, you know where you're going. Is there one, before I turn it back to Brother Tim, anybody, slip it up, take it down. Folks are moving. Folks are going back to their pews. Brother Tim's coming. Take your time. Nobody will rush you.